I do not see how one could have a more explicit repudiation of socialism that is found in this very passage.
D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
Socialism is growing in popularity in America, but can Bible-believing Christians support socialism?
Communism requires that you destroy the concept of God, because government must become your God.
Socialism not only clashes with biblical truth, it's deadly dangerous.
One of the byproducts of socialism is totalitarianism. Socialism never operates with a free people. It just doesn't.
We will expose the lies of socialism using the truth of the Bible on today's Truths That Transform.
Socialism is making a comeback. Why?
I do believe that socialism is on the rise right now, and I think it's a direct correlation to the loss of a biblical worldview.
Remove God and there's no restraint, and that's one of the reasons that in communist, socialist nations, you get, you know, mass murders, just all of these atrocities.
Socialism is growing in popularity, especially with young Americans, but it is completely contrary to biblical teaching. In the booklet, When Truth Becomes the Enemy, The Insanity of Our Reckless Embrace of Socialism, Dr. Frank Wright pulls the veil off today's insurgent socialism and points the way to the road back to sanity. Contact us today to receive your copy of When Truth Becomes the Enemy. Find out what lies behind this dangerous trend and what it will take to stand against it.
Welcome to Truths That Transform, a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries, where we are standing for truth and defending your freedom. It's hard to believe, but in 2019, socialism is a greater threat in America than ever before. Millennials increasingly support it. Major presidential candidates espouse it. And leftist opinion shapers tell us it's mandated by the Bible. On today's program, we will dispel that myth and find out what the Bible really says about socialism. And we will be joined by former presidential candidate Mike Huckabee. Lately, we hear about the rise of the so-called nuns in America, the growing number of people who respond to surveys by checking none for their religious affiliation. And at the same time, we hear about the rise of socialism. These two are certainly connected, as our own Dr. Jerry Newcomb shows us in this report.
Marx argued that all religion was superstition, that it was just hocus-pocus, mumbo-jumbo.
Former socialist author Joshua Muravchik notes that there's always a link between atheism and socialism, including its more violent form, communism. It has been that way from the very beginning. In fact, Marx and Engels' first object of attack was not so much capitalism as it was religion.
Marx and Engels' ideas, and they developed them in partnership, really started out with religion as the number one question. They came to socialism not primarily through their analysis of politics and economics, but as very young men in their angry analysis of religion, which they thought was a terrible imposture, and they wanted to tear it down. They said that very clearly.
Russian communist leader Vladimir Lenin wrote, "We must combat religion. This is the ABC of all materialism and consequently Marxism." And so when he founded the USSR, the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, he ordered 70,000 churches to be destroyed or changed into museums and thousands of priests to be killed. A year after Lenin's death, the Soviets founded the LMG, the League of Militant Godless, to completely eradicate Christianity. Wherever socialism goes, especially in its violent form of communism, the Church of Jesus Christ is virtually always enemy number one. But the faith managed to survive and to outlive the Soviet Union.
El movimiento revolucionario en cualquier rincón de la tierra.
Cuba also chose socialism, communism, over God-given liberty. Like many Cubans, Rafael Cruz, the father of Ted, initially had high hopes for Castro, only to be sorely disappointed.
Communism requires that you destroy the concept of God, because government must become your God.
And soon came the notorious Cuban death squads to eliminate many dissenters. But of course, the influence of atheistic communism was not confined to Cuba or Russia.
I was raised as a red diaper baby. My mother was Madeline Marie O'Hare. People know her as being an atheist. But the reality is that at her core, she was a Marxist, a utopianist, in a unique brand of kind of magic thought that comes out of that, about how all the world's ills can be fixed by having the right people in charge and having a centrally planned society. And as a result of that, she attempted to defect to the Soviet Union in 1960. That failed. But that led to the removal of prayer and Bible reading from the schools, because it was in after that failed attempt that, putting me back in school, she discovered the prayer. The case to remove prayer from public schools was brought in my name by my mother.
Despite his upbringing as an atheist, William J. Murray, the plaintiff in one of the key cases against school prayer, later became a committed Christian, as well as a believer in capitalism and a critic of socialism.
It's against human nature. It's against the laws of God. It's against how we were created by God. So your only solution then is to take it by force, and if they won't surrender, then to kill them.
Critics may ask, but what about more genteel forms of socialism that don't kill an unwilling populace to force its way on the government, such as European socialism? Where does belief in God fit in a nation committed to that form of socialism?
Well, historically, it certainly seems to be that as a country becomes more socialist, it becomes more secular. Now, some would argue that that's the, you know, it's the chicken and the egg question. Which comes first? You become more secular and then you become more socialist, or you become more socialist and then become more secular? The end result is the government increasingly takes the place of God. The government becomes God, and that's idolatry.
As you've just seen, socialism tries to dethrone God, something it must do in order to assume the role reserved only for Him. Yet at the same time, there are confused souls within Christianity who think that socialism is somehow more biblical and Christian than the free enterprise system. Dr. D. James Kennedy clearly knew better. And I'm joined now by his daughter and my dear friend, Jennifer Kennedy Cassidy. Jennifer, your dad stood against socialism, not as a political matter, but because it was thoroughly unbiblical.
You're exactly right, Frank. And he saw that the socialists were playing fast and loose, and he wasn't going to let them get away with it. There are many who have argued in favor of socialism by claiming it's more biblical and Christ-like, taking care of the least of these as Jesus would have. But my father knew that true Christian charity and socialism are two completely different things. He often clarified this from the pulpit. Once, after just such a message, a visitor marched up to him and said, "I don't agree with you. Aren't we our brother's keeper?" My dad gently responded, "Oh yes, I believe we are. The difference between you and me is that I believe we are our brother's keeper. And you believe that the government is our brother's keeper." He said that to her, and her mouth fell open, and she turned and walked out. Some people don't want to hear the truth, but that never stopped my father from proclaiming it. Here's a portion of his key message, Does the Bible teach socialism?
Let us answer the question, does the Bible teach socialism? Now, whenever you hear people make that claim, they invariably will appeal to one passage, and that is the passage from Acts, the 4th and 5th chapter, dealing with Ananias and Barnabas. Barnabas, you recall, sold a piece of land and brought and gave it to the apostles. And then Ananias and his wife sold a piece of land, emulating them, but kept back part of the price and brought only a portion of it and lied about it. But they say that this passage contains within it all of the basic principles of socialism. Well, I would like to submit to you as a thesis this morning that not only does this passage not teach the principles of socialism, but that it countermands all of the various tenets, the basic fundamental tenets of socialism, and is an unparalleled broadside against the socialist ship of state. Well, the basic concept of socialism is either that the state owns or controls property or the means of production. That is, that socialism basically denies the concept of private property. Well, what does the Bible say? In the Decalogue alone, the Ten Commandments, I think we have the repudiation of this, the commandment, thou shalt not steal. As virtually every theologian for 20 centuries has declared, is a divine guarantee of private property. I cannot steal something from you if you do not own it. Furthermore, in the Decalogue, we even have a command that thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house or anything that is thy neighbor's. Again, a clear teaching of private property. But let's come to this passage that we have before us. Is private property repudiated, or is it taught? Notice what Peter said to Ananias. While this property remained, this land remained, was it not thine own? It is difficult for me to imagine any clearer statement of the ownership of property than that. Secondly, we note that this action was voluntary. They didn't have to sell their property. There was no commandment to sell their property. There was no commandment to give the funds away. It was voluntarism. It is the fact of enforcement. It is the fact of coercion that lies at the very heart of every socialistic scheme in modern centuries. Thirdly, and I don't know which of these principles indeed militates more mightily against modern concepts of socialism. The money, they sold the property, and they brought the money, and they laid it at the feet of Pontius Pilate. Is that correct? No, what does it say? It says it a number of times. They laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, I can think of nothing more perfectly designed to give Karl Marx apoplexy than the idea that people should sell all of their property and bring the money and give it to the church. No, the Bible does not teach socialism, and the adverse effects of it and the long haul are incalculable. What the Bible teaches is freedom and responsibility and work. And we are jettisoning all of these in the socialistic state. And the spiritual effects will be the worst in the end.
As Dr. Kennedy explained, the Bible in no way sanctions socialism, despite myths to the contrary. The Bible teaches voluntary charity, which is in keeping with its message of freedom. But advocates of socialism believe in rule by elites. They want to see compulsory government control increase and individual freedom wither away. That's why it's important that we take a concrete step in opposing their agenda. We've put together an online petition to your representatives in Congress calling upon them to oppose socialism and uphold liberty. Please stand for freedom and truth by going online now to djkm.org/liberty and signing this urgent petition. Former Arkansas governor and presidential candidate Mike Huckabee keeps a close but amused eye on the American left and their antics. I recently had a chance to sit down and talk with him about all of this. We've had a new crop of socialists elected into Congress, very vocal. They're the darlings of the media, as we might imagine, and have proposed some pretty outrageous things, among them being this idea of a Green New Deal, an environmental-friendly New Deal that would dismantle and restructure apparently not just the American economy, but about every machine ever built that relies in any way on carbon-based enhancement. What else is wrong, though, with this whole idea of a Green New Deal?
Well, it's based on utterly, recklessly false science. I guess there's some advantage of having some gray hair and a lot fewer of them than I used to have when I was in my teens. But when I was in college, I remember Newsweek and Time Magazine and my science classes telling me that if we didn't take immediate action, we were all going to be human popsicles within 10 years because we were headed to a climate freeze and the world was headed toward a climate change, which everything would just go into an ice age, a brand new ice age. They're always wrong. Always wrong. We should be good stewards of the environment. I tell people I'm a conservationist, but we have people now that worship nature. So the problem with the New Green Deal is not just that it's impractical, which it is. We're not going to get rid of airplanes and cars in 10 years. People can't swim to Hawaii even by then. And it's not even the cost, the estimated $93 trillion that it's said to likely cost. It's that it really represents a shift from stewardship of the earth to worship of the earth.
It seems to me that the environmental movement is about control as well. Because in the end, when they can adopt policies that are restrictive for the use of carbon fuels, or as you said, abolish airplanes or whatever it might be, it's just a way of extending the arms further of government, is it not, and controlling?
It is, and one of the byproducts of socialism is totalitarianism. Socialism never operates with a free people. It just doesn't. Right. It operates with a very strict iron hand of government that gives very strict guidelines to what people can and can't do. One of the things that occurs to me is that the people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and many of her generation, not to be disparaging, but they were, like, she herself was born a month after the Soviet Union fell and the wall collapsed in Berlin. She has no frame of reference.
The history of socialism is one of the destruction of hundreds of millions of their own citizens,
yeah.
not in wars. You either cooperate or they'll do away with you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's real, isn't it?
It's very real because it's the only way you can control people when you're in a socialistic closed society and you have to obey the government. And if you don't obey the government and the government lets you get away with it, then you create total anarchy and chaos. So what the government does is to say, here are the rules. We're going to enforce them. And if you don't live by them, we will kill you, and we'll kill some members of your family, and that's a warning to everybody else. There's another factor of the purest form of socialism that I've observed going to places like Russia and totalitarian countries all over northern and eastern Europe, the architecture. Mm-hmm. Anything pre-Bolshevik, gorgeous, beautiful, artistic, appealing, timeless. Anything post-Bolshevik, ugly, utilitarian, bland, sparse. It's a great way just to physically see that when you're under a socialist system that everybody's supposed to be the same, everybody lives in the same ugly gray box.
Thank you.
Thank
so
you,
much,
Frank.
Mike.
Enjoy getting
pleasure,
to be with you.
Pleasure. As you've just heard from Mike Huckabee, the legacy of socialism is a grim one. It owes its unwelcome resurgence in America almost solely to ignorance. Too many young Americans are not old enough to remember the Soviet Union, and accordingly, they have only a wavering grasp on what socialism actually is, and are blissfully ignorant about its uniformly terrible and tragic results. That's why I've written a short booklet that I want you to have. It's called When the Truth Becomes the Enemy, the Insanity of Our Reckless Embrace of Socialism. And I will send it to you as my thanks for your generous donation to the vital work of this ministry. This booklet features a foreword from William J. Federer, one of the key historians on America's Christian history. In it, I pull back the veil to reveal the truth about the nouveau fascination with socialism among younger Americans, showing how widespread acceptance of socialistic ideology is only possible when the truth of God is ignored, when definitions are obscured or changed, and when historical ignorance reigns. The good news is that there is a way back from this insanity, and it begins with knowing the truth. Please contact us right away to receive your copy of When Truth Becomes the Enemy, the Insanity of Our Reckless Embrace of Socialism. We will send it as our thanks for your generous donation to the ongoing work of this ministry. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free, 877-962-7677. Or you can go online to djkm.org. Your donation allows us to produce hard-hitting national television programs refuting the lies of socialism, transgenderism, abortion, and much, much more, and to boldly proclaim the gospel. So please, give generously, and if you're able to give a donation of $50 or more, we will send you the booklet plus the essential DVD program, Three Big Lies of Socialism, as our thanks. Socialism tells us there is no God, that you can have something for nothing, and that it works as a political and economic system. Dear friends, these are lies. But these dangerous falsehoods are increasingly being believed by a growing number of young people. Do you know someone who might be susceptible to socialism's three big lies? Get a copy of this DVD program for your children or grandchildren, or perhaps a college student you know. These lies are becoming pervasive in our culture, and they need to be exposed by the searchlight of biblical truth. We will send you my booklet, When Truth Becomes the Enemy, the Insanity of Our Reckless Embrace of Socialism, as our thanks for your generous donation. And we will send you the booklet plus the DVD program, Three Big Lies of Socialism, as our thanks for your generous donation of $50 or more. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free, 877-962-7677. Or go online to djkm.org. And also, make sure to go online and sign the petition to your representatives in Congress, calling upon them to oppose socialism and uphold liberty. Please stand for freedom and truth by going online now to djkm.org/liberty and signing this urgent petition. Modern socialism cloaks itself in the seemingly worthy mantle of care and concern. But the reality is far different. Socialism is a false compassion in which the good things promised are always paid for by someone else's effort and expense. And the results speak plainly of repetitious failure. Just look at the modern welfare state. You would have to search far and wide to find a more damaging system of helping. Consider this. The Brookings Institution, a fairly liberal Washington, D.C. think tank, points out that you have a 98% chance of avoiding poverty if you do just three things. One, graduate from high school. Two, work full time. Three, marry before you have children. Only 2% of those who do these three things end up in poverty. Yet the modern welfare state, by design, ensures that these three things are increasingly unlikely. The socialist welfare state has incentivized out-of-wedlock births, rewards the avoidance of gainful employment, and has broken the back of the stable American family. African-American economist Thomas Sowell points out that 78% of black children were raised in two-parent families in 1960. And in the 7 years between 1959 and 1966, there was a huge drop in the number of Americans living in poverty, from about 22% to 14%. But in 1966, Lyndon Johnson's so-called War on Poverty program began as part of what he called his Great Society Welfare Expansion. The result? Well, today, 62% of African American children live with only one parent. 40% of all children in America are now born out of wedlock. And by 2012, the national poverty rate was actually slightly higher than it was when Johnson's War on Poverty began. And this, despite $22 trillion poured into welfare programs. With friends like this, the poor certainly need no enemies. If you really care about the needy, as Jesus instructed us to do, you will keep them as far away from socialism as possible. D. James Kennedy Ministries is standing for truth and defending your freedom. I'm Frank Wright. Thanks for joining us for this edition of Truths That Transform. We'll see you next time.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
College students are coming forth from public high schools and public colleges fully baked as socialists.
Children are a gift from God, that they are loaned to us for a little while, and that we as parents are responsible to give to them a godly education.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.